Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're still doing a series here on how to have God's life living in you so that people throughout the world can see God living in the world. And this is part 11. And but if you want to order this program, you have to order it as program number 112. You can get it on CD or tape. Now, the reason that God wants to live in human beings is so that God can be seen living and working in the world, and that His wisdom can be seen in the world. We're living in a day and age now where we have to, even though we're living in the New Testament and we must abide, the only way we're going to be able to get God in us is to abide by the rules and regulations, the Word of God, in the New Testament. But there's the wisdom in the Old Testament of no separation between church and state. I'm talking about the Church of Christ, of God, not the name Church of God, but the actual wineskin, the body of Christ. Now, the secular leaders are in a quandary. The Bible says that the people, the leaders of nations, would be perplexed in the last days, and that they would be mad because they don't know what to do. That means they would be insane. They're being driven insane. Many of them are on drugs and alcohol, into pornography, into sex, and all kinds of other. Sex is good in marriage, but I'm not talking about that. But they're not saved. Most of them are not at all saved. A lot of them go to church, but they don't have God living in them. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ living in them. Now, because of the fact that the people of the world have made God their enemy, God is now their enemy, and there's going to be more and more catastrophes, because God tells us that in His Word. And what we've seen thus far is nothing in comparison to what is going to happen. And so there has to be a... the people of the secular government are going to have to start seeking God, the people of God. And there are very few of them that have the wisdom of God to know what to do in the circumstance that the world is in at this moment. The Pharaoh had a dream during the time of Joseph, and Joseph was the one that interpreted the dream, and therefore this secular king or Pharaoh wanted to find out what the dream meant. And so Joseph, who was in prison, they took him out, he shaved and cleaned up, and told the Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 years of famine. It's the same thing today. I'm telling you that there's going to be years of however many years we've got left before Jesus comes back to earth again. There's going to be years of tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and all sorts of pestilence, because you people in the world have made God your enemy. You say you don't want to hear about God. You're just a good person, and we can't understand why God does this, and you just got all kinds of accusations against God. And here you don't even know Him. If you knew Him, you'd love Him. To know God is to love Him. But at any rate, here are the plagues are coming, and don't worry just about the bird's flu, because there's the hoof and mouth disease, there's the mad cow disease, there's the monkey disease, there's AIDS, there's cancer, there's leukemia, and hundreds of other heart problems and all sorts of things. Now, the people, the Bible says, if you don't know the Lord, you're in darkness and you don't know what to do. And that doesn't make any difference. It's some attorney gets to be governor, or some attorney gets to be president of the United States. He's still in darkness. He's not saved. He doesn't know what to do. You take a good example of this. There's so many examples that I don't have time, because I want to get into how to have God's life living in you. Because this is really good messages from the Lord and really good direction. But So it doesn't make any difference what position they are in government. They don't know what to do. So a good example of this is this situation in Hope, Arkansas, where FEMA ordered 10,777 homes to be built. And because they say that they're sinking in the mud now, they figure the best thing to do is just destroy them instead of praying to God to have the soil dry up. And then they show pictures of it. It doesn't seem like any of them are sinking. They just don't really care anything about the taxpayer. And people are being taxed out of their houses and homes to the point to where they can't really afford to buy food. They have to stand in food lines, soup lines, and they have to work two jobs, and they're just getting sick and tired of it. Now, the solution that the Lord gave me is that we should take these houses, and in California, they allow three houses to every acre out in the Saugus New Hall Valencia area where our church is. And there's builders coming out here building three houses to every acre. So the same thing could work in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, or anywhere. You could put three houses to an acre. And there are many people that I know in the Texas, Arkansas area that have 50-acre plots, 100-acre plots, that are on city water and are on city sewer. And so that means 50 acres, you can put 150 homes there. 100 acres, you can put 300 homes there. Now, these people that were in this catastrophe in New Orleans and Alabama, they're not mooches, or they don't have their hands for charity or anything like that. They were, by the most part, working people, is what the media says. And so they don't want to feel that they are beggars. So instead of destroying these homes, with the government that I propose, that the secular, blind, and dead secular government do, is to move those houses to parcels that people own, and hook them up to sewer and water, and let these people that they just kicked out of all these hotels and motels, FEMA just kicked them out, cut their money off, and they're on the streets, cold and hungry, let them move into these houses. They're already built and they're completely furnished, and let them live there until they get jobs, and then even when they have jobs, they can rent or buy the houses and pay a certain amount, anywhere from $200 to $500 a month, until the houses at fair market value are paid for, or that they just pay rent and move wherever they want to after they get on their feet. And this is the way it has to be. There's no payback system in the secular world now. And if people know that, hey, we're not begging, we're not beggars and we're not mooches. We're just going into these houses knowing that we're going to pay rent on them, and that we're going to pay, if we buy them, pay taxes on them, and the government's going to get their money back. And then the government will be ready for the next catastrophe that happens, and so will the people. And the people will feel good about this, just as the people of Egypt did. When the 7 years of famine came, there was something for them to go to. There was some food for their bellies. And Joseph, who was made ruler of Egypt at that time, began charging the people money for the corn. And finally, the government wound up with their houses and their cattle and so on and so on, or a portion of their cattle and a portion of the things that they were growing in the field. But wasn't this better than dying of starvation? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the thing that we need to do is take the wisdom that Joseph had and take the resources that the government has now and get these people off the street. These people can't wait until they go and rebuild these shacks or houses that have been knocked down in New Orleans and elsewhere. They'd starve to death, and they're dying of all kinds of different diseases that they're catching because they're out in the cold. The doctors are now putting them to death because they think it's a mercy killings. They think because, you know, they're undernourished and they are... It's a big thing on the news today. This way, if we get these houses moved, they're already built. I know of a 50-acre parcel out in Falk, Arkansas, that's just ready to put 150 homes on. There's another acreages that I know that people own in Texarkana that 300 houses could go on. That's 400 families that'd be right off the streets and into warm places, and they could have jobs. Now, the benevolent organizations such as Red Cross, Food for the Children, Armful of Help, and whoever, Salvation Army, they could keep... Now, they're not looking for paybacks. At least I know Red Cross might, I don't know, but if it's a church or a benevolent organization, and true born-again Christians, they don't want any payback. They can keep you people supplied with food, clothing, because the Lord says for us to feed you and clothe you and to give you the necessities of life until you get on your feet and you can provide for yourself. So this shows that the government, the secular government, and God's government must start working together so that you people out in the world, when these catastrophes hit, will have some form of security to where you can know that if something happens, there's and the government can feel secure too, and the taxpayers are going to shout praise the Lord because they know that when we're having the spend of maybe $1 billion or $2 or $3 billion, that there's going to be the people that are benefiting from this money that the taxpayers have paid and that the government is handing out, that it's going to be paid back. It's going to come back into the coffers, just as it did during the time of Joseph in Egypt. The Pharaoh wound up owning everything. And that's the way it is now anyway, with the exception of there's no payback system. The government owns everything, your house right now. Try to not pay taxes and see what happens. The government will move in on you and take the house that you're living in. So the land belongs to the government. And so let's at least give the government some brains here to not say, okay, FEMA has to give the houses away, or that the... And the people in the world should be involved because you might be next. Okay, so if you've got land that could house maybe 10 or 20 these houses, or 50 of them, or 150 or 300, then let the government know it so that they can put some of these houses on your land, and you'll get rent money from the people when they get a job, and the government will get payment on the houses, and the hauling of the houses over to your property, and the hookup of water and sewer and lights and all these utilities, and everything will be like we're working together. Listen, we're all in this world together. Now, those of us that are Christians are not of the world. You people are, but we're not. But we don't mind helping you out because we want to show you that God is living in us. Amen?
Amen.
And God, this message that we're bringing today is how to have God living in you too. The first step would be to start listening to the wisdom of God, and let's do it. Amen?
Amen.
And we can't wait any longer. Amen. We've got to get these houses lived in. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the solution that the brain-dead government is saying, let's plow them under. My God, you can't plow under millions of dollars worth of homes while people are out on the streets. Let these people that love to work and support their families live in them and start paying for these houses back. Don't you see God's logic? You can't be that far in darkness to not see that. the secular government is all about money. The secular government should love this plan. The people that don't want to be called beggars or mooches, they should love this plan. And everyone in the world should love it, too, because it's kind of a buffer situation that when a catastrophe hits and you happen to be the target of that one, that you're going to have, if you're still alive, and your loved ones will have a place to live. Amen?
Amen.
And it's not a free lunch or anything like that, except the things that are given to you from food for the children or Armful of Help or our church, the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, or other churches that give out food and things that will sustain you that you don't have to pay back. All right. Praise the Lord. So if that makes sense to you, it did to the Pharaoh in Egypt, and it did all the people there, and not one person starved to death. They all had corn, and they were able to feed other nations as well. Now, this isn't only wisdom for the United States of America, but it's wisdom for the rest of the world. You've made God your enemy, and God is now your enemy. If you want God to love you, then have him live in you and start paying attention to what he says, because you're not going to win any battle against the Lord. God has fought many, a lot of people have tried to fight battles with God, but God has never lost one of them yet, and he never will. So it's best to just humble yourself under the wisdom of God and let him live in you. And we're going to teach you how to do that. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that we see in your word regarding Joseph when he deciphered the dream vision of Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. And he told that to the Pharaoh, and this unsaved Gentile was wise enough to put Joseph in charge of everything in that country. And he never wasted anything. He saved everything. And you, Lord, as our example, when you fed the 5,000, on top of that all the women and children, there were many baskets left of food that you told the disciples to save. Because food is precious. It's the provisions that you have made for us, and it's you've always provided a place for those that love you and keep your commandments. Now, you're trying to show benevolence and love and mercy to the people in this country and the world by showing them your wisdom that we have to work together. A secular government should stop attacking the born again of the spirit Christians, because we're the only ones according to God's word that know God. But that isn't you say, well, we're angry because you know God. You can know God too. He's no respecter of persons. Now, Father, I pray that you'll let them know through the word today that they also can be children of the Most High God. They can have God living in them, and they can be clothed upon with you, Jesus. We ask that you anoint this service, Father. Open everyone's eyes to the truth and their ears so that you will be able to live in them and through them. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name, so the church could be strengthened and souls would be saved. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
This is from Oklahoma. Sir, okay. I wanted to share this with you. I was very sick, as you know. About 9 to 10 days ago, I heard your Deuteronomy tape, chapter 25. As I was listening to you, I prayed very fervently along with you. And as you said, lifting up hands to praise the Lord, as I was praying along with you for God to touch me, I felt the power of God come through the tape into the room and through me. Since then, I have had no symptoms that I was having. I do not get up at night or any of the other problems I was having. When I went to the heart doctor, she said the test from 15 days ago showed that I had an electrical problem with my heart. However, when she checked me out now, She said that she could not find any signs of any problem at all, and that she did not need to see me back for over a year. I know God touched me through that message, and I know that I am healed. They're still doing tests, and I believe by faith everything will turn out normal. God's power is so amazing. One day I could not get up at all without help, and the next day after I was touched from the Lord, I can walk and talk basically normally. Thank you again for being my pastor, and a very strong one at that. The only thing I have to do right now is gain weight, which I'm doing day by day. I thank God and you again. Praise the Lord. Susan from Oklahoma.
Yeah, this is really a miraculous situation, because she couldn't even, didn't want to eat, and she was just getting more skinnier every day. She was just wasting away. She couldn't get up. This was going on for a long time, and she went to one doctor after another, and all we need to do is receive that the Lord has already healed us around 2,000 years ago when he was beaten to a pulp to where you couldn't even recognize that he was a human being, and he was pierced. He was processed on that cross so that we could be clothed with his righteousness. Then he died on the cross and shed his precious blood there, went to hell for us, and then showed that he was God, and that nothing on the face of this earth that could happen to him could prevent him from raising from hell and out of the tomb, from death, hell, and the grave, and that 40 days later he ascended into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, and over 500 people saw it. And he's God, and he's appearing to people now. He said that in the last days he'd pour out his spirit to all flesh. That means that everyone in the world is going to hear the message of God. His words that I'm preaching and teaching are spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they are life. God is not a ghost. People say the Holy Ghost. There is no Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Shakespeare rewrote the Bible, and he's called it the Holy Ghost. But God is not a ghost. He's the Spirit. He never said he was a ghost. All right? And so, call God the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and not the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So, this was a miraculous indeed, because now she's up and about and feeling more and more normal every day. Jesus healed us over 2,000 years ago, and you need to just believe that and receive. You don't receive anything from God but by faith. By faith we're saved, by faith we're healed, by faith we get food on our table, by faith we are healed of every kind of a sickness, disease, and infirmity, if we have God living in us and through us. Okay, now where's the next letter from?
From India. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you are fine. Daily we are praying for your ministry. We hope you are also praying for us. We received 10 Bibles and literature sent by you. The literature sent by you are read by each and every person, and they are feeling very happy and getting satisfied. Everyone is taking you as a role model because the changes in your life took place in everyone's heart, and that changed their life. The literature sent by you was distributed in each and every area, especially in rural areas. We went to rural areas and made a schedule of learning the literature, which were sent by you for those people who are not able to learn, and we are also continuing the same always and everywhere. We are doing God's work and praying. We are in some troubles, so we request you to pray for us. The work which was done by you is very helpful to us, because we are able to satisfy some of the people. Nearly 80% of the backward people are not in a position to buy their own Bible, so we request you to pray for those people who are not able to buy one.
And this is, you know, how do you suppose that we're able to continue on for almost 42 years? It's because we give the Bibles and the literature to the people that can't. We give the Word of God to them, which is the most important thing, because if they abide by the Word of God, they're not going to lack anything. You've got to believe that. If you have God living in you, you won't ever have to beg for bread. And there's always some place for you to live, always some place for you to eat, always. And like the psalmist David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the seed of the righteous, I mean the children of the righteous, begging bread. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. He fed the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't plant anything, but there would be a manna that would come up on the earth every morning, except on the Sabbath, and it was just enough for them to eat, and it sustained them for 40 whole years. Then when they crossed into the Promised Land, where there were plenty of fruit trees and there was all kinds of food there, then there was no more manna on the ground for 40 years. So God always provides for his people. It happened then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will provide for you today in so many miraculous ways that we don't have time on this tape to explain it. Okay, go ahead some more.
We distributed the literature in the name of Tony Alamo Distribution. We request you to pray for this.
Oh, distributed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I am not on these messages or in my tracks of exalting myself at all. I mean, because without God, I'm nothing. The biggest nothing you ever saw in your life. I was the biggest renegade you ever saw. I was a degrading type person. I was like a dog. And the Lord saved my soul. So everything we give away in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And believe me, without God, you would not want to know me. I was awful. Okay, then what?
We request you to pray for this literature and Bibles to make this program successful. There are many people who are suffering from ill health because they don't have any of the hospital or medicine facilities. We request you to pray for those kind of people who are suffering from ill health. We will be waiting for your prayers.
Right, see, and when you sow mercy, when you give your finances to them, or you buy medicine for them, for these people, you're going to be in the same shape one of these days, very possibly. And if you are, you're going to want somebody to be there for you. You're going to want somebody to be there and care for you. And if there wasn't any Christians, now I know, you know, like we sent packages over to all over the world, and the Catholics would grab the packages and give them not to the people we sent them to, but they'd only to Catholics, because that's it. Everyone other than Catholics, they say, is a cult. But really, the number one cult in the world, and the most dangerous one, is one thing they do is hand out food to their own. But we will hand out food to Catholics, to Buddhists, to anyone that's in anywhere in the world. If you're suffering, you're a human being that was made by God, and we want you to see Christ in this. We're not going to ask you, are you Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or whatever. Whatever you are, we don't care. You're a human being. You're one of God's creations. You're not his children yet until you accept him as your father. By us showing you kindness, maybe this will help. I've seen it help in many cases. That because we help, they respond to kindness. People respond more to kindness than this muscle head type tactics of the Vatican and the Catholic and the Muslims that say they want to kill Whitey. If you don't believe that, grab some of those books that Farrakhan, the head of the Muslims, wrote. He says we've got to wipe out the white race. And it's the most weird thing too, because Muhammad was a white man, and all these black people think that he was a black. No, he wasn't. He was white. And it mentions in his books that he's white. All right, and I'm not going to read the Quran to you or anything like that, because I'm too busy reading the Bible. The only help we have is in the Word of God. in God himself. Muhammad is not God. Buddha is not God. They're not the messiahs. Only Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father in heaven but through Jesus Christ. That's it. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Okay, then what?
That was by Reverend Jivan from India.
Okay, next.
From Nigeria, Africa. Greetings. Thank my God for sending you to us by way of your website. For not only have you shared the love of God with me, but with countless souls around the world. I was a former school dropout, drunkard, smoker, gambler, lawbreaker, a walking killer machine, a menace to our society. But because of God's tender mercy, I was completely transformed into a new being, filled with God's love. Your ministry has encouraged me to this work. I am presently pastoring a jail of 130 prisoners and a home church of nearly 30 families in a slum area. Most of the prisoners are mere strangers in the community, completely rejected by their own families and by the society. We are trying our very best to get to everyone, but economic situation of my country has greatly affected our ministry. We have a limited source of religious material. Please send us 24 Holy Bibles and your book, The Messiah, 10 copies. May God richly bless you and your ministry for your sincerity. Evangelist Norman from Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, make sure to send these Bibles to him, and also to inform me before I forget it, after the program here, if we're getting low on Bibles, if we've got only a half trailer load or something like that, then we need to order another 100,000 or another trailer or two trailer loads, tractor trailer loads, semis. All right, we want to keep giving these Bibles out because God is really blessing us for doing it. It's Him that we're distributing, because the Bible's not just a book, it's God. The Bible says that God is the Word, and the Word became flesh in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and dwelt among us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue on. Let's read a little bit from the tract that God gave me a few years ago, which is, this is part 11 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, so that everybody in the world can see God's life living in the world. Amen? And to experience God's life living in the world. Go ahead.
The answer is that He doesn't need human beings to do anything for Him other than be a temple for Him to live in and do His work in.
Okay, now let's go over to this new edition and let's read it. Now, continue on now.
When we are baptized into Christ, we put Him on. Immediately, He, as the Spirit, becomes our clothing, our covering, and we are qualified. Praise the Lord.
Right, when Jesus ascended up into the kingdom of heaven, He became the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is the only Spirit that gives us life. He calls it a quickening Spirit or a life-giving Spirit. Now we have, you say, well, I have life. You have temporal life. Everyone has to die. But if you have the eternal life of God living in you, then even though your body dies, but your spirit will live on forever in the kingdom of heaven. The spirit that's in you is going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, then your spirit will spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. So the most important thing that you could ever do in this life is not prepare for college or for to work in the workplace. But this is good in a sense, but the most important thing is to prepare for eternity so you get in to the long life in the right place, heaven. Then what?
So the new garment which we must put on to be saved, to enter into heaven, is Christ Himself as the everything Spirit. This is the meaning of the Lord's word in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Quote, go ye therefore and disciple the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Unquote. The reality of the name is in the Spirit. To baptize people into the name means to baptize them into the Spirit. And who is the Spirit? The Spirit is Christ as the everything Christ. Everything Spirit.
Everything is included in Christ. Your life, your food, your drink, your healing, your salvation, everything comes from Christ. Christ is the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the heir. Everything was created by Christ, the Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and he's God Almighty himself. And so all we need is Christ. You don't need to prepare for anything other than eternity, and God will provide for you. He wants to live in you and work in you as he does us, and he will. He's no respecter of person. If you'll surrender your entire life over to him, just surrender yourself to him. Are you afraid of God? When the Holy Spirit is barreling down on you and you're just drenched in the Spirit and you're in the Holy Spirit and praising the Lord, there's no fear there. What the fear of the Lord is to fear to get out of his power, because only in his power are we safe. Now, Shakespeare changed the word power to grace. But the word grace, with Moses came the law, but with Jesus Christ came what?
Grace and truth.
Yes, it came power and truth. Truth and power. What's the power? The resurrection power, to resurrect you from the dead life that you're living now, the worthless life that you're living now, the life that's without hope. I mean, it's hopeless for you to just live and then die and wind up in hell. But when you're saved, when Christ, by the Father, with the Father and the Spirit enter into you, you have hope that you're going to spend eternity, for eternity, everlasting life with the Lord. And with if you've had loved ones that were saved, you're going to be there. You'll be reunited with them in heaven. Okay, then what?
He became incarnated. Then on top of that, he lived on this planet, this earth. He was crucified and accomplished redemption for us. And he was resurrected after everything was finished. He became, in his resurrection, the everything spirit of God. Incarnation is included in this spirit. Crucifixion and redemption.
Okay. Incarnation is included. That means that we are the continuation of the Lord's living in flesh. The work of Christ is not over with until the very last soul is saved. Now, the only way that there can be a work of God done on earth is if God is doing it. And the only way that God operates doing the work of salvation is in human flesh. It pleases God that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. So there's really no other way that you can be saved than to receive what you ordinarily, in your deadness, would think to be foolish. How could God live in a human being? It's what everybody thinks. But God, how could you, a piece of dirt, be walking around? Amen?
Amen.
And having body parts, and you're warm and everything, and all you are is made out of the same elements that are in the soil. Because there's the spirit in you, and there's a heart in you, and there's a soul in you, and there's God has given you that temporary life and wants you to unite with him so that he can give you more than what ordinary human beings have. He wants you to become a God person. He wants to live in you. Then you'll be human and God in you. It's not you that's God. It's actually God living in your human body. And then if you yield to him, then he'll do a work in you and through you. And then it'll be the work of God. There's some that will be standing at the judgment bar of God, and they'll say, Lord, because they know he's got an angry look on his face, and he's about ready to sling them into hell and the lake of fire. They'll say, Lord, did we not do a great and mighty work in your name? He says, yeah, you did. But you weren't, I never knew you. I wasn't living in you. I wasn't working in you and through you. You did it. You just did whatever you thought was right. But your carnal brain is not capable of doing anything that's right. You don't know what I want every minute of every day. You're to die out to your way of doing things and let me live in you And if you think you can talk, I can talk better than you can. I'm the one that taught the languages to every nation on the face of this earth. Now let me do my work in and through you. If you won't let me, then I'll cast your soul into hell. Because God not only loves, but God also kills. Amen?
Amen.
And he says that those that forget me and just do their own thing, he says those that forget God, I'll tear you to pieces. So we're dealing with a very loving God, but we also are dealing with a God that kills. And I've seen it happen many times, people that just keep on keeping on doing their own thing. I've seen God tear them to pieces and kill them. I've seen it. They just, all of a sudden, they're really healthy and beautiful looking, and then all of a sudden you see them maybe 2 months later and they're like skin and bones, and they just go up into smoke. They just die and they're buried and they're gone. Okay, and then what else here?
Crucifixion and redemption are included in this Holy Spirit air.
See, crucifixion. Now, the Bible tells us to be crucified with Christ. That means that, and we can't do that. We cannot discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit unless we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And the Lord tells us what we can do and what we can't do, and that's crucifixion, because if we're just wild and just do whatever we want, then we're not crucified. We have to know that there's a right and a wrong, and we have to make ourselves be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. We have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Then go ahead.
The power of his resurrection and the life of resurrection are all included in this Holy Spirit power.
Right, so we come to the cross to give our lives to the Lord and have his Spirit living in us. So when we do, we are now in the bride chamber with the bridegroom, and we are invited guests to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're just as clean as a virgin. If you were a prostitute or the biggest whoremonger in the world, you're as clean and white as Snow White, and you're just as clean as you were on the day that you were born. And you have just as much right, if you're a female, to be dressed in a white wedding gown on your married day. If you was even a porn star, you're clean and you're white and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. All your sins are forgiven. But he says, now go and sin no more, because if you don't, then you're not going to be able to be forgiven. Especially people that have lived such a careless life, and they've been deceived by Satan before, that if you just started reliving that same kind of life, there'd be no more repentance for you. You'd be like a dog that went back to its vomit. You'd be like a sow that's gone back to its wallowing in the mire. You'd be a viper, a snake, a devil, because you're trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot, putting him out to open shame, and accounting the Holy Spirit of life as nothing. And this is a crime punishable by an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. Okay, so you'll be resurrected from the dead, from your dead life, by the Holy Spirit. And so don't fall away from that. Keep that. You have to fight for your salvation. It's a battle of fighting Satan until you it comes so naturally that you're not really thinking about it. It's just like driving a car. I mean, when I feel some unclean thought that would maybe be coming my way, I just put it out. I put it away from me immediately. It's just like I don't even think about it anymore. It's just there. I subconsciously know that I can't think that way. I have to pull down every thought that Satan may try to infuse or fuse into my mind or into my spirit, my soul. I have to put it down. I have to stamp on it. I'm not going to stamp and tread over the blood of Jesus. I'm going to stamp on the devil. Amen?
Amen?
So when it comes to me, it's not just saying it. You know, I hear so many people say, oh, I come against you, Jesus. But I come against you, Satan. But then they go ahead and come against Jesus. All right? It's all right to, You have to come against Satan. It's all right to preserve your soul. It's all right to treat Satan as though he is the devil, because he is. Amen?
Amen.
So you just rebuke him, and pretty soon it just becomes like second nature to you. Okay, it's the natural, supernatural thing to do. And it is the supernatural thing to do. Then what?
When we were baptized into him, we were baptized into this Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized into him, we put him on. Hallelujah. So the reality of the name of Jesus is in the Spirit. To be able to baptize the people into the name.
Right, the reality of Jesus. You can't have the reality of Jesus unless he is living in you with his Father by the Spirit. You must be baptized. He must be in you and upon you. Okay? Then what else?
To be able to baptize the people into the name means to baptize them into the Spirit. And who is the Spirit? The Spirit is Christ as the everything heir.
Right. Once he went into heaven, he became the Holy Spirit. When we call upon him for salvation, he descends down and enters into our body and lives there with his Father by the Spirit. That's how to have God's life. Then you have to start looking at the world conditions and keep reading the Bible and then tell the world what to do. Because remember, the world lies in darkness. The Bible says that they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and the dead know nothing. So when we look at the president that says he's a Christian, and he knows he's not because he's bombing people and killing them and making all kinds of wrong decisions, we know that he's not saved, okay? He doesn't even know it. He's in darkness, all right? And so we have to pray for him and keep witnessing and everything. We don't want to... There's some people that want to throw a grenade at him and things like that I see in the news. That isn't the proper way to do it. You try to convert him, and so that he can be a witness, so that God can be a testimony in him and through him in the world, so that people can see Jesus in him. I cannot see Jesus in unsaved people. And when I hear Christians saying that, oh, he is... Mr. Bush is such a Christian and everything. I know that those people don't know the Lord either, because the Lord, you know, you, if you're of the Lord, you keep all of his commandments. His Spirit is not going to be bombing people. His Spirit in you is not going to be telling you to destroy people's lives and bomb men, women, and children. This is Catholic, Vaticanites. This is what they've done for centuries. They tried to put the Jews to death. Hitler said, I'm only doing what the Vatican has been trying to do for centuries, is to kill the Jews. And here you see a bunch of Jews, walking arm in arm with the archdiocese. They've even moved their offices in with the archdiocese. It's insanity. They're not saved. So we pray that these people will become saved so they won't do that. Do I want to bomb them or kill them? Absolutely not. I'm trying to convert them to be saved. How could I possibly win any souls if I wanted to kill people like they do? We become new creatures. We don't want to kill people anymore. Like this man here that we just heard his testimony, he wanted to kill people. We want to save their souls by preaching the Lord Jesus Christ into them. And so that Christ can begin doing a work of God in and through them. Now that's what it's all about. And so the world can see God living in this world. How can God see? How can people in this world that are dead see God working in this world unless God's in this world? And the way that God says that he's in this world is by living in humans. Just like Satan lives in human beings, you can see that they're of Satan by the things they say and do. I see Satan working in Mr. Bush. I mean, there was no weapons of mass destruction over there, and he sends all of our troops over there, and look at how many people are killed, and our own people are being killed. That isn't the Lord. All right? Well, I made a mistake. God does not make mistakes. Okay, if God is living in and through you, you're not, and you're doing everything he says, you're not making those kind of mistakes. You're no brother of mine, but I want you to be. Amen?
Amen.
So repent, Mr. Bush, and all you other people that believe that he is of the Lord. You don't have the mind of Christ. You could never possibly say those things if you were saved and you knew the Lord and you knew that he didn't go for weapons of mass destruction or any kind of weapon except the double-edged sword of the Word of God. Okay, then what?
The Lord became incarnated, lived on this earth. He was crucified and accomplished redemption for us. And he was resurrected after that. After everything was finished, he became in his resurrection the everything, now the actual air even. Incarnation is included.
Yeah, in other words, the air we breathe. That's how easy it is to have God's life living in you. You just come into me, Lord Jesus, just breathe him into you. Because he's the Spirit, and the Spirit, the words, pneuma in the Hellenic Greek is the same as air, and the Spirit, or resurrection, all these things, life. So the air is your life, and the Lord is everything. He's given us this air to breathe in, but we have to breathe him in and his word, because his word is spirit and life. Okay, then what?
Incarnation is included in this air. Crucifixion and redemption are included in this air. The spirit of resurrection, the power of his resurrection, and the life of resurrection are all included in this spirit.
This air, the spirit, this pneuma. Okay, then what?
When we were baptized into him, we were baptized into this spirit, this heavenly air. When we were baptized into him, we put on him, we put Jesus on. Hallelujah. So there's a wonderful verse in the New Testament. There are many of them, but this one is really good, and not very many people know this. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Quote, "For in one spirit were we all baptized, into one body."
Yeah, see, we can't be in many religions. Because religions, we have to. It's just only one truth. There's only one spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be baptized into that one spirit, the spirit of God. Any other spirit other than the God spirit is the devil. Amen?
Amen.
It's just false. And God claims there's only one spirit, and he is the spirit. And those that worship him must worship him with their spirit, through his spirit, and his spirit comes back to you. We have to communicate to the Lord. Then what?
Whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free.
Read the scripture again from the top.
For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Unquote.
We're all made to drink from one spirit. My word is spirit and life. We have to drink from the word of God, because that's the only spirit of God. That's the only life of God. The words that I speak to you are spirit, the Holy Spirit, and life. Learn of me, the Lord says, not somebody else. Okay, then what?
It says, firstly, that we were all baptized into the Holy Spirit, and secondly, that we were all made to drink of the one spirit. We are not only baptized into the Spirit, but also made to drink of the Spirit. It's important for you to notice these two points in this new verse. So we suppose that there was a bathtub full of water. To baptize myself in this water is one thing. The body is clothed with the water.
I can lay down in the tub and I'm completely covered with the water. But what about inwardly? I have to drink something in order to have it in my body. Amen?
Amen.
So I can be clothed with something outwardly, but now what about inwardly? Okay, go ahead.
The water is put upon myself, but this is just an outward act. Something is put on me, but not put in me. The second point is that we are also made to drink the Spirit. When I drink a glass of water, the new water gets into me. To be baptized into it is one thing, while to drink of it is quite another thing. There are too many Christians today that confuse these two points.
Right. See, you can be saved, but if you don't drink the Word of God every day and keep it drinking it, then the baptism that you have outwardly will go away also. You will not be clothed upon any longer. Okay, and then what?
There are too many Christians today that confuse these two points, thinking that the baptism in the Spirit is equivalent to drinking of the Spirit. The way they think is really not logical. When people are put into water, does that mean they are made to drink of the water? If so, they would be drowned. To be baptized, a person is to put him into water, not to make him drink the water. There are two points.
All right. I see the main point right now is that my time is run out. It always runs out at the wrong time. Well, maybe it is the right time because, you know, you can only learn so much at one time. If you want this tape or the CD, ask for program number 112. And also make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 12. But those of you that don't know the Lord, you're not clothed upon, or you're not drinking of him, you can right now by saying this prayer. You can have God's life living in you now by saying to him, say it right now, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will accept my soul. You will accept me. You will save my soul. Therefore, I know you've heard me, I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Raise your hands up and praise the Lord, and keep praising the Lord. Now start drinking of the Lord by reading his word. That's eating the Lord and drinking the Lord, because remember, the Bible is not just a book, it is God. The word is God, and the word became flesh. So start drinking of him. And again, this is program number 112. And until tomorrow, make sure you tune in because it gets only better. You know, the more and more you hear of the Lord, the better it gets. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord all the time. Amen.